Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome back to Leaving Hillsong. This week we're going to do something a little different. Most of the people that you've heard so far on this pod, I've known them for a little while. We've chatted back and forth, and usually I haven't known their whole story, but we kind of know each other. Whereas this week, I got an email from a young woman called Megan in New Zealand, and she wanted to share her story. And so I said to her, well, rather than go over it and then bring it all up again for an interview, why don't we just jump right into recording? And so that's what we did. So Megan's now a 20-something nursing student, and she'll tell you the story of what she went through at life. And if that's something you'd like to do, by all means, get in touch. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we can talk about what you want to do with that story. So here's My Voice Does Matter.
Megan, how did you end up in an AOG church?
So I moved to Auckland in 2017. I was like fresh out of high school pretty much. And here in New Zealand, you hear about these mega churches, and life was that one for me. And it's a place that everybody wants to go to, Life Church.
Okay. Yeah. And that's, you had moved from?
I lived in New Plymouth for most of my childhood.
Okay.
So it's a big step from a couple of thousand to a million, I think, at the moment. And I moved out and started attending Life. It wasn't until I had done a Googled Hope, which you guys would know as Mercy Ministries. That's when I kind of got into the whole what Life does. You get enswathed into this circle. And that's where I kind of found myself. I was everything about Life, Life Church. Every Sunday I'd be there. Every time there's an event, I'd be there. And it just became a part of kind of who I was. And it just lost the real point of what it was for me.
Okay. So you had been a resident of that place?
Yeah. So yeah, resident, loved the place, quite spoken about. And the Google Hope and that stuff. We attended Life every Sunday, similar to other programs around the world. And yeah, like you just get so swamped into this place of you're doing this because it's a bigger church kind of thing. So yeah, so then I left that and decided to do continue what I was doing, like attend Life, because I knew nothing else pretty much. Jump on Teams, attend services, serve, whatever. And then 2020 happened. I applied for leadership college. You signed forms, everything like that. Mm-hmm. It gets to a point where you live and breathe. I lived and breathed that church. I spoke out on it so many times about it. I fully recommended friends going, whatever. And it became a part of my life. And then we had COVID lockdown. And that meant everything went online, which was fine. 100% got that. And that's where I kind of saw a bit of a turn, because before COVID, I worked alongside a worship pastor's wife to run events and making coffees for the senior pastoral team, and then meetings with our senior pastors, all that stuff. And then I was made to leave college for my mental health. That kind of forced me out. And then that's where everything changed for me. I went from being talked to and being elite circles to literally no one. Like, there's no point of turning up to church, pretty much.
Wow, okay.
There's like a hierarchy in church, at life, mm-hmm. especially. And it's senior pastors, their team, anyone that's in their pastoral team, and then there's college students, and then there's everybody else, sort of thing. And you got seen as quite high up, and once you left college for any reason besides graduating, I got avoided by the college principal, and college principal didn't want to talk to me at all, even about me going back to college.
And when you say they forced you out, I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
So I ended up having a really bad mental health relapse, pretty much. And I got told that I could go on leave for 2 weeks as required as to the New Zealand government and studying. You could take 2 weeks to leave before it starts, starts ruining your further future studies, which was fine. At that point, I was ahead of class, handing in assignments, everything, because that was my way of trying to stay above everything. And then I landed in the psych ward, and then I got pulled into a meeting with a bunch of psychiatrists, my nurse, and on Zoom was the principal of college and my young adult pastor at that time. And they told me that they'd talked about it in a pastoral meeting, which I had no idea that was happening, and that they were going to ask me to step down and come back semester two, which was maybe a month and a half away from when I pulled out, which was fine. They were fully like, we'll let you reapply. I had like no choice in it, because I kind of had to, or I wasn't allowed back at college pretty much for the rest of that semester. Yeah.
So then, yeah, so following that, you were saying like there's everything changed.
Yeah. So I came into church as soon as we could get back into church, and I was chatting to people and like just my normal connections that I normally do every Sunday. And I went up to chat to the college principal at that point, and it was to the point where you could see she was avoiding. And I was like, okay, maybe it's just an off day. So I left it. And then it happened again. And then I was like, oh, okay, this is weird. So then I went up and chatted to some people that I've always chatted to for a weird, like their family. I grew up knowing the kids. Their kids grew up knowing me more in a way. It was just avoidance. And I was like, oh, this is super weird. Like, what the heck's happened? And it wasn't until a previous life church goer, I explained my feelings, and they were like, it's called the elite circles. And that's where someone fully explained to me what it was. And that was the first time I was like, oh, totally makes sense to what I'm feeling, what's actually happening. Because you take a step back after that, you see it so much. And it's taken me quite a long while to see it now, but and I look at it and I'm like, it's so toxic and so bad for for people who actually go because they want to know Jesus. Like, yeah.
And so then what happens after that month and a half?
I reapplied. I got passed. My mental health was passed. Team signed me off, all that stuff. I was doing well. I then emailed my young adult pastor and she's like, oh, I'll give you a call. So her and I have a chat and she's like, I don't think you're ready to come back. And I was like, okay, cool. That's your personal choice. I can apply. So I applied and then the principal got in touch. She was like, you're a risk to church's reputation. Like, you're a risk to church. And I'm like, I never said I was going to hurt someone. I was just having a bad mental health day.
Yeah, that's tough. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got told that if I were to want to apply, I'd have to wait for February 2021. At that point, I kind of just gave up. I was like, I'm getting nowhere with them. There's no point of this. So I took a step back from it all. I had to take time because that kind of hurt. And that's where I realized that when you leave anything related to any mega churches, you are literally just someone who's donating money to this church. Yeah, it's literally they don't care.
The follow-up after that was?
Follow-up was really bad. Like, I would try to have conversations with people just throughout their weeks, and it was just avoidance. I would try to have ministerial chats with them, like, telling them about my progress because they literally told psychiatrists that they would be there to support me mentally. And they turned around and was just like, you just need to pray harder. And I'm like, not really the issue I've got right now. Doesn't see where that's come from. And then I brought it up with my young adult pastor at that point, and she was just like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, it's all good. You just need to pray about it and really figure out whether or not you're praying hard enough. And I was like, it's really not the problem right now. Like, that's not the issue. The issue is, where the flip did I go wrong in this? Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, you didn't, so.
Yeah.
And how many people are they supposed to be looking after?
Life Church has 4 campuses in Auckland, 1 in Melbourne, and 1 happening in Tauranga, which is a couple of hours away from Auckland. So roughly they can seat nearly 2,000 people in service. They can have a database of like a couple of thousand. Yeah.
And then what happened? What did you do after that?
I got so mad at the whole thing that I kind of just stopped going to church. Like, I just wanted to see whether or not it was within myself, like whether or not it was just some anger I had towards people. But then I took a huge step back and just finally saw that what others were seeing, just people that I talk to, like now best friends now who I've chatted to, and what they see. And I was just so eye-opening, like reading news articles that I had never read before because I've never talked about, especially the whole conversion therapy bill and how they were just like, no, we don't believe in conversion therapy, but they wanted people to submit a bill in support of the therapy. The model of life is a church to call home. And for me, that's not a place I'd call home. Yeah, so now I'm studying nursing. I'm out of life. I've never gone back. And it actually feels so much better. Like, it's so great to be able to speak about things like this without the thing of I might be hit with anything. It was like pretty good to finally speak similar things to the rest of the rest of everyone else who's spoken up about media churches. Yeah.
did you find another church or you just?
I found another church and kind of like another mega church, but at this moment I'm just cruising along. Like, I'm just trying to figure out where I can be me and fully love that and find out where God is in that later process. Like, it's no rush for me at the moment.
It's been going on for thousands of years, these questions. So
yeah.
Tell me, because I can't quite remember, what was the relationship with the Frank Houston stuff?
So like it is known to everyone in New Zealand as the Hillsong of New Zealand. So Bobby and Ryan are best friends to Paul and Marie, who are the senior pastors at Life.
Paul and Marie
DeYoung.
That's the link in. Okay. I remember. So Paul DeYoung was Frank Houston's PA for years and years. Sort of right.
I didn't know that.
And it's a little bit before my time, but definitely, back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. They moved to New Zealand, and everyone thinks now was Bobby and Brian told them to go start Hillsong here, and it just didn't bang. So they then moved to the whole Life church, whatever.
Okay.
Like everything. We have, I think Brian is on that Life chairboard, financial chairboard. I can't say too much about it, but everything kind of gets run. Anything Hillsong does, Life Church does pretty much.
That's interesting. Yes. Because we do notice that that there isn't a Hillsong in New Zealand.
Yeah, so
why not?
So what I know and what I've chatted about was that because Brian and Bobby, beyond, of course, my time and all that stuff, linked back to New Zealand as well, they told Paul and Marie that they would never start a Hillsong in New Zealand, that Life can be it, because they've got such a great relationship. Like, I can't know their personal relationship, whatever, but Life Church is Hillsong New Zealand, but just not labelled that.
Who's the next second in charge there?
It would be their son, Luke DeYoung.
Oh, that's nice.
Melissa DeYoung is related to Helen Burns in Canada, another mega church as well. But after that would be Scott and Amanda Thornton.
Okay. What other kind of similarities did you notice, though? Like, do they support the same kind of things, or?
Yeah. So when the huge investigation came out, Hillsong wide, I remember it clearly because it was talked about it in church. And what, I can't word it quote by quote, but Paul and Marie stood up one Sunday, I think it was after everything came up, and they were just constantly battled with, they just hushed it. They wouldn't explain why it was happening. The whole allegations and whole Brian Houston covering all that stuff. And we would, for that point, for me, I was just like, what the flip's happening? Like, what are these charges? I don't know anything about them. And then it wasn't until I went home that day that I Googled it. I was like, oh, this is bad.
But don't you think that's strange that they don't think people are going to go home and Google?
Now thinking about it, I Googled it and I felt horrible Googling it, thinking that maybe I didn't trust my pastors. But I just wanted to know, because I'm such a person that if I'm going to be attending this church, I want to know what they're talking about. If they're going to have Brian and Bobby here to open a new campus, I want to know whether or not I want to be there supporting it. End of 2018.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
We had to move council related and all that stuff. There's a transition literally going through our old building. And so we moved and opened this brand new $1 million building. And the special guests were coming was Hillsong Young and Free and Brian and Bobby. They were going to come. And it was going to be great. They put prices to it and it sold out. Yeah, if you wanted to be there that opening night, you had to book 2 months in advance to go.
And pay what?
I think it was roughly $10 to maybe $20, depending.
Okay.
So mind-blowing now looking at it, like, so confusing in my mind. We had guest speakers because we do huge conferences. I remember I was making a coffee for guest speakers, someone related to Hillsong, and I was told I wasn't allowed to talk to them because I wasn't paid enough. I wasn't being paid at all because I was a student. I was there for experience. So every time they'd come into a room, everyone had to be quiet.
Ellen DeGeneres or something? Like?
No, it was the South African pastors of Hillsong.
Oh, not Phil Dooley.
Phil Dooley and Lucinda.
You're not allowed to speak to Phil Dooley when you walk in the room. Is that right?
It was the same, similar to, like, if you wanted to go up to the leadership lounge, which is where all this pastoral team prayed, which I didn't see any prayer going on, you either had to be in that circle or you'd be serving. You had to be picked to be serving. So I got asked to serve because I had barista skills, which is totally fine. I was handpicked by them. And I was, at that point, you wore that at college, you wore that with pride.
Yeah, you're handpicked for a reason, for sure.
Yeah.
So, it was all the kind of top-notch that you weren't allowed to speak to. It's not
what I saw the most is, so we have All Blacks attend our church, some really, really famous All Blacks. And their family members who are also All Blacks, we've also got radio presenters. And I remember this one night, it was an all-in campus night, and we had, you guys know who Stan Walker is over in Australia? He had walked into church and we were directing everyone to the chapel. And I had just been like, everybody needs to go to chapel. And then I get pulled to the side because he then went to go chat to someone higher up than me. And was like, I wasn't allowed in the main auditorium. I'm literally just following health and safety regulations. If I can't fit a mum and a child into this auditorium, I'm not going to care who you are. And then I got told that I needed to make sure that every celebrity or every person with high status would come back. And I'm like, I don't care if they don't come back because I can't fit them. Really. I'm like, I don't care. And that's where I kind of saw that a lot of these celebrities, like radio presenters being able to bring their families to a sold-out show, that these families who had been on this wait list for months to go, like Christmas productions, weren't allowed to come in.
What was that point? There was a final meeting?
Yeah, it was an 11 a.m. church service that I had gone to on a Sunday. I remember sat down with my young adult pastor at that point. She was talking to me about something and I was like, I need to talk to you about life and where I feel like something's gone wrong. And she avoided the whole conversation. And I was like, no, I need to tell you this. Like, this is really urgent. And I told her everything. And I told her that I was looking at leaving church and that I just didn't feel like it was comfortable for me to go to this church. And she goes, oh, maybe we have a different mission than what you've got. And I'm like, maybe you've got a different mission? Like, what different mission do you have? I have making sure people in this church come back, call this place home. Isn't that what you guys are preaching about? Like, and then I left in tears because it got to the point where I was like,
yeah,
I'm over being there every single Sunday. I was there at 7 o'clock, 7:30 every Sunday morning. And there are days I won't leave until 9:30 at night. Every Wednesday there was a meeting, like there was prayer meeting or whatever. I was there, like, and that was awful. Like, I remember getting a phone call just maybe a couple of months ago from someone from Life asking me whether or not I wanted to help at Sisters. And I was like, no, I haven't been at Life for so long, like for a year and a bit. Like, why? Yeah, have you not noticed that I'm just not there? I pulled myself from all the teams. Like, clearly you guys would have noticed, like, surely you would have noticed one person who had been on every single team not there. They're like, did you leave badly? And I was like, yeah, I left really badly. Like, what else did you think? Do you think I just loved walking out of the meetings crying? Like, and like, there's so much wrong in that church now that even if you tried bringing it up to the past, like, even if you tried bringing it up to Pastor Paul and Pastor Marie, you would have to fight their PAs. Like, even if you want to chat to them on a Sunday, you've got to fight security.
Where do people go for pastoral help there then?
So they have campus pastors, and every age group's got a pastor pretty much. But like, if you want to chat to anyone about like issues that they've got, like for me, I wanted to chat to someone that wasn't my young adult pastor, wasn't the principal of college. And then every time I'd bring it up, they'd be like, oh, we can't deal with that. That's not in our scope. That's just the issue you need to pray about. Because I remember I emailed Marie de Jong about something, and something about she had said something at Sisters and that stuff, and she had made this huge connection, a couple of my friends. And she was like, email me anytime. She gave me her email, which of course, like any pastor, you're like, oh, okay, let's chat. And then I get a message literally 3 days later being like, oh, sorry, Pastor Marie is booked, so she cannot reply personally to these emails. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? She's too busy.
So she's too busy, right,
to reply to these emails. And I'm like, what's she busy doing? Like, I didn't reply to that. I didn't question. I was just in my head. I was like, but you give me your email. Like,
you talked a little bit about talking with people since you left. Like, what else has helped you sort of make the change? What's helped you get okay with it all now? Is that right? I mean, how are you going now?
There's parts of this, like, a story that really hasn't gone any further than literally me and dear Caroline, that not. So now, like, I've spoken out on it on so many levels now, a year and a half later, that I'm doing better with that. Like, actually, I had a chat with someone about it a couple of weeks ago, and just having that point of like, my voice does matter. Like, it might have not mattered a year and a half ago, but it matters now, and that whatever happened, like, did happen. Like, it's no longer me pretending, or maybe it just didn't happen that way, maybe I did something wrong. Whereas, no, what should have happened was them. They should have owned up on things.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, they should have really stepped up in their leadership and been like, we need to train our leaders more. There were connect group moments where their connect group leaders were serving us alcohol and talking about like triggering topics like abortions pretty much and that stuff. And these leaders, who of course are going through leadership college, dating people in church, like big people, then tell us we're not allowed to talk to anyone about it because they could get in trouble. Like, then why do it? You know it's against the rules. Why do it? Yeah. So now looking back at it, I'm like, did I skip a huge warning sign?
It's the same stuff again. Yeah. And the money? How is the money spent?
So we have no idea how much everything's spent. We know that when we were raising money for the new church or whatever, I don't really know what like raising money I think it is, we got told that if you donated $5 a week, you could get your name on a seat. At no point did I see names on seats unless they were stickered and they were reserved for
guest speaker, for example, PA, all that stuff. That's it. And these tickets you could make a come off. There was like no recognition of where that money went besides.
So it just disappeared. So even the little basic things, okay.
Yeah.
And like the $5 deals, okay.
Yeah. So I remember I signed up for a year and I donated $5 a week. And I wanted to know where my money was going. And I remember we went to this all-in night, team night, whatever it's called. And they talked about finances there. And they're like, you'll find out more about where our money went to and this booklet. And it just, they didn't really talk about it much. Yet they were literally pretty much every month talking about legacy, our life legacy, like we've got to donate this much money to be able to pay off the debts for church so we can do more stuff. Apparently they had a mission to raise $45 million in 4 years to pay off 3 campuses and start new campuses, get guest speakers here and all that stuff. And it just got to a point where I was like, I'm not going to donate any more money. I cannot do this. These pastors were like going on for like weeks. They went on retreats for the start of the year, every year. All of them went on retreats. And we're like, this is really how our money's being spent. And like, if you donated a certain amount, you'll be invited to the financial leaders breakfast every 8 weeks. And that's where you could have breakfast with the De Jongs and chat about everything financial. No one knew about those meetings unless you're invited or you're serving them. You knew there was something called financial leaders, but you never knew something. There was something called the financial leaders breakfast. You never knew what was happening in them. So that was pretty interesting to finally see what was actually happening. You weren't allowed to go to any of the meetings unless you're serving or you're a financial leader. If you weren't serving in that area, you just stay out because they just didn't want anything leaked. Whatever leaves this room, you can't talk about it anywhere else until it's made known to the public. And it was just weird.
A whole lot of hush-hush stuff.
Yeah.
And I had a guy write to me from who'd lived in New Zealand, and he said to me, don't you ever wonder why there's no Hillsong in New Zealand? It's because there's too many victims, right? And I was like, oh, my God. Who knows?
Yeah, so, like, even if we were to have conversations with Bobby and Brian, we weren't allowed to bring up anything related to their dad. If we were going to ask anything, we were only asked about them, how they were, and that was it. Like, we could ask about Hillsong. I remember, I think it was last year that the whole Hillsong New York thing happened, and no one talked about it. Like, there was nothing about church related. It was really weird. It was just really top secret, the whole everything about that. So we were going to talk about that. We even come for conference one time, them and their daughter and that stuff. And if we were talking to them, it was just, hi, how are you? Welcome to life, pretty much. Hope you enjoy. At the start of Leadership College, you submit something called a CV. So it used to be that you'd pick the places that you wanted to do your practical in, but they changed it because everyone kind of went for one area. And I had written on my skill list that I can make coffees, which is a rare talent at life because you don't usually get trained. And I'm highly trained outside of church. I got picked to do the event. So of course I needed events from Monday to Saturday. So I needed to do something on Sunday. No one was able to fill the spot to do the senior pastoral coffee. So anything up in their lounge, the guest lounge, I think they called it. Melissa DeYoung being like, we've picked you to come up and do coffees. You just need to be dressed really, really neatly.
And you're doing all of this volunteer, right?
100% volunteer. And they wonder why the turnover for anything volunteer related in that high-end area is so high. I fell over a couple of weeks after that, and I tried explaining it to them. The doctors had told me I wasn't allowed to live carry heavy things. So I was upstairs making coffees and all that stuff, and I remember my arm in a brace. Like, I'm literally putting my health at risk. I cannot do this because I can't do this one-handed. And she was like, oh, but there's no one else. You've got to do it. Who's going to make the coffees? When they're fasting, we would still have to be up there. Huh? Like, when they're doing prayer and fasting, I still have to be up there making coffees or like standing there.
Yeah, well, what would you say to somebody who's, you know what I mean, they moved to the city, they went to the nice church, the people are nice there, you know, they don't know anybody else. I mean, can't be that bad, can it?
I think if I was talking to someone who was like me when I moved to Auckland, as listen to your gut, for me, the thing that most people don't know was I hated life when I first went. But I hated to the point where I was never going to go back just because it just felt too big for me. Like, just wasn't what I wanted and what I had hoped it was to be. But I threw my gut instinct out the window and was like, it'll be fine. And now I kind of wish I did kind of listen to my gut, because that would have saved, now 2021, I've been in Auckland for 4 years, it would have saved at least 3 years of this stress. If you really want to attend churches like this, go ahead, but don't put your whole life into them. They're not the real representation of God. To just trust your gut. And if your gut's saying to get out of there, get out of there. And do research. Yeah. So much research about what they stand for. Does this align with what you think? Are there any values in that you believe are a bit iffy? Do some research about where they've come from, like come out of Hillsong, whatever. Everything's linked. So go to your normal traditional church. Like go to a church down the road that doesn't have many people, and you might not run into problems. I'm still gonna be a Christian. Like, it's just that balancing scheme that I can't get right at the moment, especially with everything that I'm still relearning. Like, I'm relearning. Just don't doubt your gut, because your gut's the whole thing that's going to lead you through it. Like, don't throw it out because everybody else is saying something else. That makes sense?
It's no going back, really, is there, after that?
No.
So, like, oh, no, I'm just going to believe what you say and stuff. Thank you so much for that episode. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's awesome. And I hope it keeps going and going. The freedom of thought. I love it.
Yeah.